I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Blake Batson. Blake is one of the entrepreneurs bridging that gap between Old Waco and New Waco. He was born and raised in the area and owns one of the city's most beloved brands and common grounds, but he's also championing new business ideas that have never been seen in the city. Blake is super sharp and thoughtful and, as someone a few years further down the road than me, a terrific pace car in our race to make Waco great. But before that conversation, thanks to American Bank, I'm proud to present a new small business spotlight, showcasing a unique operation taking place outside of downtown Waco. Enjoy. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and I'm standing outside of what's become a sugar staple for Baylor students over the last couple years. Just across from campus on 8th Street is a family-run shop that uses all natural ingredients to make its cookies and ice cream. And we're gonna get to go inside and see how they make one of their most loved flavors, mint stracciatella. So come on, let's shine the small business spotlight on Heritage Creamery.
Hey Austin, welcome to Heritage Creamery.
Thank you.
You ready to get started?
Let's do it. So Joe, what's the first step in making this flavor of ice cream?
So the first step in making any of our ice creams is starting off with a base, which basically means just putting everything into a big pot, cooking it all together so that it comes out of the same texture. We have real vanilla beans that we use. We split them up and scrape them so that all the actual bean can get out and into the flavor of the ice cream.
And where did all these recipes come from?
So we had about a year of experimenting, if you will, before we actually opened this storefront, where we would try out new flavors just at the farmer's market. The original guys put in hours of research.
It sounds like a really tough job.
It is. It's easier for me now, you know, that we have everything established. But at the beginning, it was definitely a lot of trial and error,
sure,
if you can say.
So we've dumped in our vanilla bean and our milk and cream and sugar. What's next?
Well, now that everything's in the pot, we just heat it up so it all can blend together. And then we start adding in the fun stuff, all the things that make our flavors unique.
Joe, what would you say is the greatest advantage of Heritage? What differentiates you from competition?
What sets us apart is that nobody's making a product like us. You don't have anyone else locally who's making products out of fresh ingredients that are all natural, and I think you can really taste the difference in our ice cream. All right, now we're at the right temperature for our mixture in there, and I think it's time to add the mint.
So while that base is churning, let's go ahead and make the stracciatella sauce.
That's right. You know what stracciatella means, Austin?
I guess it's an Italian word for chocolatey, ice creamy things?
No, that's it's not too far from the truth. So actually, stracciatella just is an Italian word. It means little shreds. And in Italy, there's a style of making gelato that we copy, where basically you make your own chocolate sauce, and then as the ice cream is churning, it freezes off and breaks into little shreds and little flakes. So instead of using actual chocolate chips in our ice cream, we just do it this way.
That is so creamy. I see where you get the name Heritage Creamery.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how the business got started, because this is a special flavor. I wouldn't have found this anywhere else. And I heard there's a special story behind Heritage.
Yeah, well, our owner, Blake Batson, his father passed away a few years ago, and his dad was really well known in the Waco area for his cookies. And so he was trying to think about a way to honor his father's legacy, and he had the idea, why not make an ice cream shop and sell cookies like my dad used to make them? So he put together all this organic stuff and then thought of the name because this could be his father's heritage to Waco.
Well, it's a great story, an amazing product. Joe Bennett, thank you so much for letting us shine the small business spotlight on Heritage Creamery.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate it, Austin.
That was the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank, with three convenient locations in Waco, including an expanded branch downtown at the corner of Franklin and 4th Street. Visit wacobusinessnews.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to watch the Small Business Spotlight video featuring operations manager Joe Bennett of Heritage Creamery. I'm now joined in the studio by Blake Batson. Blake, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you very much.
Tell me a little bit about your Waco history.
Yeah, so I was born in Waco, grew up here, went to Lorena High School, and then Baylor University.
What were you like in high school?
What was I like in high school?
The Lorena Leopards, you know, kind of mad about town in Lorena. What was the high school existence like for you?
Yeah, the metropolis out in Lorena. yeah, it was a good time. I don't have a ton of memories from Lorena, actually. Played football, played soccer. We had a co-ed soccer team, which was fun back then. And, yeah, it was good.
But you and your family were very involved in the Waco community.
Yes. My grandparents came here. My parents lived here. They met at Baylor. So we've always been ingrained in Waco and what's going on. Part of Highland Baptist Church for a while, then Antioch Church. So grew up like always going to Baylor games, going to Waco events, being very much a part of Waco at the time.
And growing up, your father was a serial entrepreneur. You went into Baylor thinking you were going to be studying business, but ended up moving into philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually started with a business major just because I had no idea what I wanted to do. We did a create your own business freshman class. So did that. We started a business in that class, and right after that semester realized immediately, I do not want to do this. Hated the class.
Do you remember the tipping point?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember like the moment we were giving our presentation over at Hankamer on campus. And I was talking about some stupid business that we created. It was like some gift, online gift thing. And I'm talking about it, and I'm going through the numbers, and I realize in that moment, I will never do this. Like, seriously, like, I go over to wherever you go to change your major at the time, talk to the career counselor, and instantly change to English. It's just, I was done with business.
And what drew you to that?
I'd always loved to read. I had been an avid reader growing up and through high school. I would write on my own and was interested in literature, was interested in the humanities in general, just wanted to learn. I've always been a learner, and so that bend in college kind of drew me.
You, while still in college, began working at Common Grounds, mm-hmm. the famous coffee shop right there by campus, and really started to integrate yourself into the leadership of Common Grounds.
Yeah, I started there in 2006. Loved it. It was similar to what it is today. I mean, as far as the culture and the community, really strong community there of the staff and the people coming in. I was actually fired from Common Grounds, which is ironic and funny and just part of my story. I would say I was a little lost at the time. I didn't know where I was going or who I was, and just had some struggles connecting with leadership and being humble and following direction.
So you were in your early 20s,
so,
basically,
yeah.
is what you're saying.
I had some dreadlocks and some bandanas and some earrings. And, I would push against the walls.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that didn't bode well for me.
So
I was fired.
You were there. You got fired. At some point, you returned.
I came back. Yeah, I had some maturation. I grew a little bit. And about a year later, came back. Some life events had happened, and I was a little more soft, a little more humble. Came back and talked to the manager and the owner at the time, and they gracefully let me back in.
Why do you think they decided to give you a second chance? I'm sure they had plenty of people come in there and flame out, but there was something about you. What do you think that was?
I think it was more just the spirit of the place. I mean, we were all friends still. Like, I still knew the manager who was there. I had gone to school with her, actually, and I knew the owner, Jill, at the time. And, I think the relationship and them being able to see firsthand that I had grown, that I was a different person, just really sold it for me. They were able to trust me, essentially. So, yeah, I came back. I remember, like, throwing myself into, you know, whatever needed to be done. I wanted to Just give to the place, give to the people there. I had no seniority or leadership responsibilities. I was a lowly, basic barista.
You were the best kind of yes man.
I was because I've been given a second chance, and I realized that, and I didn't deserve it, and I think that really fostered some trust with the management there, and very quickly I was promoted up the scale. Almost within 3 or 4 months after me coming back, I was promoted to the GM. So I went from a barista to a shift leader, and then became the GM. And I worked as that for 2 years.
You've got your hand in a lot of different pots in Waco. But before we jump to that, I want to hone in on this just a little bit. What did you learn in that experience of being cast out and then being accepted back in that has changed the way that you deal with employees today?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's given me a lot of empathy for my employees. I think what I knew about myself then is I had a ton of potential. I remember thinking this about myself and knowing this about myself, that I could do so many different things, and I just wanted the opportunity to do it. I wanted whoever was above me, either a superior or a mentor or someone, to look at me and say, here's the torch, you go do it. And I wasn't getting that, and I was so frustrated. Like, come on, can't you just give me a chance? I know I can do this. And what I didn't want to do, though, is go through the process of time and growth and submitting to other people who may either not, in my opinion, not know as much as me, or not have as much natural ability as me, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone has to go through that process. And so today, I think, and that's informed me to be able to sit with my employees today and just say truthfully, hey, look, I get it. Like, I get, like, that you are struggling here, and this is tense, and this is hard, and you got some life stuff going on, but this is part of the process. And really, it's not about can you do this or can you not do this. It's can you submit to the process and let it unfold. And that's, I think that all of us kind of at some point are faced with that.
Sure. So because you personally experienced those things, you can see in your younger employees when they might be heading down a path that you took when you were 20, mm-hmm. and you can be in there and step in as the mentor. And, you know, obviously you're not forcing them to do one thing or another, but just say, hey, like, this is my experience. One thing I appreciate about you is that you've been very open about who you are and where you came from and the struggles that you mm-hmm. went through in your 20s. When you and Kimberly spoke at the Confessions of an Entrepreneur at Baylor a few months ago, it was amazing to see how much these 20-year-old kids at Baylor lit up when you're on stage telling them, hey, guys, this is all the stupid stuff I was doing when I was your age, mm-hmm. and look at where we are now. And it's amazing that you can use your story to impact your employees and other kids for better.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it just allows me, I think, to connect with where they're at. I think that that's comforting for people on that side of the table, if they're my employees, to know, like, hey, this guy has been here before and he gets it. And that doesn't excuse behavior.
Sure.
So that being said, you know, I was fired for what I did. and that's true. You can't condone that. But there is a sense of grace, empathy, understanding, and hopefully, for me, like in Kimberly, it really is the relationship that's the most important thing. I mean, we love what we do. We love getting to run these businesses and getting to impact Waco and the hospitality scene and the restaurant scene. And really what motivates us is the empowering of people. So the relationships with our staff, with our partners that we get to work with the customers that come in. I mean, that's what makes it tick, for lack of a better word, for us.
While you were at Common Grounds, you got together with Kimberly, who is now your wife and mm-hmm. mother of one and a half kids. You got a one,
got
and
one
a
half.
On the way.
Yep.
At some point, you guys, I guess, started this idea in your mind that maybe we should see if we could buy this brand. What was the thought process when you were, you know, an hourly worker at Common Grounds thinking, hey, I could really take this and move it up to the next level?
Yeah, well, it was surprising to me. It wasn't a moment of inspiration that I had. I knew I loved the place. I loved the space, if you will. Like I said earlier, I didn't love at the time. I wasn't big about on business. I didn't want to do business, but something about that space and the culture and all the values that were there that were a part of the business, but the intangible things that really made it special, that really drew me to it.
Common Grounds is a community that happens to make money.
Exactly.
That was always my impression when before I lived in Waco, when I would come in from Austin or Dallas or when I was at school at Texas A&M, I heard about Common Grounds all the time. And then I went there and, wait, it's this tiny little house and everybody's crammed in?
Uh-huh.
But it was really insane when I moved here to see how much people relate to Common Grounds. And it's because it really is a community breeding ground. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really unique space. The atmosphere, the decor on the walls, the little nooks everywhere, the staff that are there. I mean, all of those tangibles and intangibles inform this thriving culture, which in a lot of ways is above and beyond what I can give to it. I sometimes joke about how Common Grounds dictates the business for itself even more than I do. So it's got this undercurrent of, this is what it is. This is what it's been for 25 years now. And I can give it boundary and steward it and try to grow it as much as I can, but it's going to be this. And for almost, you know, you got 25 years, so you think parents of kids who are at Baylor and are graduating Baylor now, those parents used to go to Common Grounds back in the mid-90s. So that's a lot of history, and that's a lot of tradition. That's a lot of people who met each other and got engaged at Common Grounds. I mean, there's who knows how many stories started at Common Grounds, how many first dates, how many connections and relationships and all those things. And so, yeah, it's a rich, vibrant, deep place.
You're hearing from Blake Batson, one of the owners of Common Grounds Coffee Shop there by Baylor. In addition to the location at Baylor, you guys recently expanded into Woodway.
Yes, really fun opportunity out in Woodway. We knew that there was a large market of people, some who went to Baylor, some who didn't, but a lot who know Common Grounds. And we wanted to be a part of that area of town. And this building kind of became available, and me and my partners out there saw it. And it's different. It's not an old house, eclectic kind of nook environment place. It's out of an old warehouse, so it's a little more industrial. It's a little more open and cleaner, but still fun. And I think the atmosphere is still a big part of what makes that expansion so fun.
And the space in which Common Grounds is housed in Woodway shares with a new venture of yours, Slow Rise Pizza.
Yeah, so when we looked at the warehouse out there, it's a pretty large space, about 6,500 square feet. We wanted to really monetize the whole space, and so this kind of multifunctioning food hall concept started to get thrown around. So we wanted to put in a coffee shop and a restaurant, and that was more on my partner's side. I'm working with Brett Schwartz and Jason Brock out there, and they have been talking about doing a restaurant, and so we put the space together where you could go in if you want to have a coffee experience and sit and either study or read and drink a cappuccino or whatever. You can have that, and it's nice, and it's quiet, and it's inspiring, and all those things that the coffee concept space needs. On the other side of the half wall there, you have Slow Rise Slice House, and that's kind of a New York style pizza by the slice. We have a large beer on tap selection, not a full bar, so we're not doing liquor, so beer and wine, and then a pretty big outside patio area.
I went to lunch there last weekend, and there were probably 30 kids playing out there.
Yeah, it's become a kid zone, which is great. We've gotten a ton of feedback from families that it's very needed. there's not really a space that you can go besides maybe like Torchy's or Chick-fil-A or somewhere like that and just get some food, get a drink, let your kids run amok.
Unleash the Kraken.
Yeah. Yeah, unleash them. And it's safe. We have our fences up there, and there's turf and games and balls and all kinds of fun things for kids to do in a safe environment.
Well, Blake, you're involved in so many things. Let's touch on a few of them, and then we'll talk more general overview. Yeah. Let me know what's going on with Cotown Crepes.
Yeah, so Cotown is still at Magnolia, and we also are still at the farmers market, and it's a fun little venture. I mean, it's really when it was started by Courtney Rogers and her husband Kyle Rogers, who I actually went to school with in Lorena, grew up with Kyle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I knew them, and I'd seen them at the farmers market early on when the market just started. We were there serving coffee, and they opened up, and from day one, it was a huge success. You can tell people loved Cotown Crepes, loved the crepes, loved the experience, even just once a week out at the farmers market. And so we're hoping to continue that as best we can, as best as my little group can give to this business and continue to provide that product and that experience for people at the market and at Magnolia.
Well, as you took it over, the menu got expanded a little bit. It looks sexy and it's fun and it's present there at the farmers market every weekend. People love Cotown. Heritage Creamery, we started off the episode today shining the small business spotlight on Heritage. And what you guys are doing over there, flavor-wise, is not happening at any other ice cream shops in Waco. As a person who sells cookies and ice cream, what you guys are doing is really next level.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really proud of Heritage. It's at Common Grounds and at some other places, what we do is so great and so rich, but it's not necessarily like an in-house crafted thing. Heritage, that's what it is. I mean, we're making everything from scratch, in-house. We're using local vendors. We use milk out of Mill King and McGregor, low-temp pasteurized. All of the products that are going in the ice cream, as best as we can, as much as we can, we're sourcing from quote-unquote local, either in Waco or in this region in the state, and then doing it all in-house. And so it's, it's five products. It's milk, butter, cream, sugar, and eggs.
And lots of love.
And lots of love. And then vanilla and then cacao or chocolate. And, I mean, that space is really special. And you can tell just when people go in and they see, my wife, she designed it. And she's great at that. And she put all the pieces together inside there. And the space itself has a really great feel. And when people taste the product, it's like eyes open. Oh, my gosh. I've never tasted ice cream before. Like, this is real ice cream. And that's part of the name Heritage Creamery. Is we wanted to, in that brand, in that name, I wanted to kind of bring about a couple of elements that are special to us. One, just the heritage of Waco and just being from here is really special. And, a lot of people are talking about Waco these days and how Waco is just, it's on the map. It's become this known place for so many reasons. But being from here and knowing what it was before and knowing what it is now, it's important for me to continue to invest in not just what we're doing, but what other people are doing that we can partner with. So Heritage is doing that. And then also, my dad, he had this cookie recipe growing up that everyone loved. It was a chocolate chip cookie recipe. And he would take it to our school and to events, and he'd actually get like orders from friends, like, hey, can we get like 12 dozen
really?
of your cookies? Yeah, he would get like, he had this like little business, and he passed away in 2011, and never really got to realize, it was never realized, this dream of his to have a bakery and have a place. And that's also part of the Heritage name for me personally, is being able to take something that he started, an idea that he had that he didn't get to realize in his lifetime, and then with my mom, who's a partner with me, and my wife, actually do it. And so it is this little mom and pop ice cream store that really cares about the city, that really cares about the products that we use, and we're having a blast.
Native Sons Coffee Roasters. Milo is another thing that you're involved with.
Yeah.
That's going to be opening up here in downtown shortly.
Milo is awesome.
Blake, you've got a ton going on, and you seem to be doing a really great job of being faithful and high integrity and making sure that these products are, in fact, things that people in Waco want and that they need. What would you say are your greatest resources as an entrepreneur? What really helps you hone the vision for these ideas and stay on the track?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Really, it's people. For me, I learned a few years ago that I can't do more. And I feel like that I'm inspired and I have vision for more. Really in Waco, but maybe even beyond. And I realize that I can't do more and invest in these really great cultural ideas without good people around me, without delegating well, without putting good teams in place, without partnering with the right kind of people. You got a Corey McIntyre over at Milo who, just lives and breathes that concept. Very much is that concept. And that restaurant will be beyond and will be an experience that we've just not had. Bottom line, end of discussion, it's going to blow your mind. It really is. Top down. Out in Woodway with the guys out in Woodway with the team I got out there. It's just, for me, it's just part of owning a business, running this type of business, and then doing more. You have to surround yourself with the right people.
Well, it seems like you've done it, and tremendous success is following in your wake, and I hope it continues in the future. Blake Batson, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great.
Thanks again to Blake Batson, Joe Bennett, and American Bank. And thanks to you for staying informed on all the amazing things happening in our town. And for the record, Waco isn't the only place where revitalization is in full swing. Just 5 years ago, the city of Detroit was in debt an estimated $20 billion and declared bankruptcy, the largest municipal filing in U.S. history. But now, the Pistons in the Motor City are turning once again. Check out my story, A Tale of Two Cities, on WacoBusinessNews.com, where I examine the connections between the resurgences in Waco and Detroit and what we can learn from their struggles and successes. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.